Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to Kingdom Justice, and this is your host Courtney Jones speaking. And we're back. And I know we've been gone for probably about 2 or 3 weeks now, the show. We've been out for about 3 weeks, and we're back on. And we're back on. I'm so excited to get back to it. And some of the things we talked about, you know, I noticed that we had to go through talking about at least 16, I think it was like about 16, 17 spirits as we last was on here. And we were talking about the 77 spirits, and we were talking about how you have the Amorite, the Jebusite, the Hittite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, the Girgashite. And we were talking about all those spirits before, and we went into actually these things. And if you can check out the teachings, you will hear that. Now, I know some of these things are strange to individuals because a lot of people have not been taught this because the fact of the matter, revelation of God was not given unto these certain individuals in these days. Certain individuals don't have it. Because the thing is this, with anything, we know a lot of time people want these anointings, and we have seen, for instance, people say, well, you know what, I want to be just like Paul. But, you know, it's a price to pay to be like Paul. Same thing with Jesus. Jesus wants us to pick, notice why Jesus wants us to pick up pick up the cross and follow him. Now, notice how Jesus was telling James, he was telling those guys that you're going to have to, you will drink from the cup. Now, notice Paul said the same thing, that we shall reign with Christ if we suffer with him. So notice it's you're going to have to go through what he went through to get the benefits of what he get, because every man is going to get repaid. Every man is going to get repaid back what he does, and that's good or evil. So notice that what Jesus got paid, notice how you're going to go through what he's going through if you want to get the same thing. It's just how it works. You know, if you look at Jesus' whole story, we go into it. Jesus did pretty much everything that every prophet did. He did pretty much everything that every prophet did. He, even different stories of the Bible, certain prophets before him, he was even actually doing these things. And not just that, he did even what Jonah did. He went down to the pit, which was hell, and he went down willingly. Jonah went down not wanting to go. It was a punishment. Now, it's something that God wanted to happen, because by Jonah doing that, people were saved. And that's the same thing we've seen, what Paul had said that about the Jews, about how the Jews was, how the Jews was cut off and the Gentiles was put in their place. So they was put in a place, you know, but God didn't completely get rid of Israel. No. But he put them in a place. Now, notice that, for instance, what the Jews' problem was a lot of times, what their issues was they didn't follow God. They didn't follow him correctly. Even when they did, they fell off. His ways to them was so hard. Some of them they wanted to take advantage of the power. Some of them wanted to be over people. And they wanted to be over the people. They wanted to hold things over the people. They wanted to be over the people. And when they did this, God have rules to things. And this is what I'm here to tell you about, because these are things that people need to start to understand the principles of God and understand that, you know, how God's system works. And that's what we're going to be doing going through this. We're going through the show now, as that, you know, we went through the spirits, and I advise you to go back into it and check through it. And I know this is new to people, because this stuff have not been spoken a lot of the time. But this man of God, elect of God, that's out there that has preached such of these things in the last 10, 15 years. They have preached these things that just have not been popular to people. People have not wanted to take them, and they just have not been popular. But that doesn't mean they're not true, and that doesn't mean that you're not going to have to know this. Every believer is going to have to know this. A lot of times people have been hiding in the shadows, and that's what I mean. They've been hiding in the shadows, because what you have a lot of time, we look at a shadow. What does a shadow do? You know, a lot of time we look at something. If you see a person from a shadow, you can't really figure out what that person's face look like or what they look like. All you know is you just see an image of maybe how tall they may be. That sometimes the shadow make them look taller than they really is. It can stretch. So you really can't see the true person. And that's what people do a lot of times when you have ministers that cast shadows. And so we have these ministers that cast shadows a lot of times. And when they cast shadows, that's like, for instance, if you in the sun, notice the worst thing can happen to the sun is the eclipse, because notice when the sun is out there shining, okay, nothing can block this sun. But when this eclipse comes, it actually blocks the light for a little bit. Now, notice that it blocks the light just for a little bit. And that's all it needs, you know. And that's a lot of time what happens when people cast shadows. They throw in an eclipse over the light. You know, they're covering up the light. So, for instance, if you're 100% light, right, but then all of a sudden somebody throws a shadow over you that covered up 5%. So now you're no longer 100, you're just 95%. And they throw another shadow, and then you're 80%. So what that means that you may know 80% truth, but it's 20% that you don't know. You see, and see, the thing is that a lot of people get to the point where they learn knowledge about God, and what they do is they learn knowledge about God, and they stop there, you know. And that's why I notice most folks do revelations. When God gives them revelation of things, a lot of times they'll look at the revelation that God had given unto them, and they'll say, wow, God, I didn't know this was in the scripture. And it'll be some big revelation. And they'll say, wow. And they'll stop. They'll stop there. And some of them will just keep that cover. So it's not somebody going to say, you know, that verse really means such and such. But actually, that verse went deeper than that. That's like, I always talk about the blood of God. The blood of our Lord Jesus, because it's so precious on the price that he prayed for us. We always talk about that. There's nothing wrong with talking about that. But a lot of times we don't go further about the blood. Why did God choose blood in general? Why did he choose blood anyway? Why did he use blood anyway? And some people try to cut this off because they don't really want to go further. They'll say, well, because blood, it said in the Bible, blood represents the life. Okay, but why did God use, what did the blood really actually mean? Because even though it has a spiritual component, it has a physical component. So what do that mean? That means we need to go look at blood, actual blood, to understand what God really means. Because everything God did, everything he said, it has a spiritual and a physical meaning. And that's why a lot of times what we do is, some of us will take stuff that we'll get some revelation, and we'll forget the physical components. And we'll take some of it, get the spiritual components, and you know, the physical components, and we forget the spiritual components. Like science. Scientists, that's what a lot of time what scientists do. They'll take the physical component and then say that's what it is, and they don't want to go further into knowing where it comes from. Everything comes from the spirit. You see, so it all going to manifest to the flesh, but the flesh has the meaning of the spirit. So you're never going to know what the true meaning is if you don't. So when we do these things, we cause corruption. We cause division. You see, because what happened is we're trying to divide the truth. And so we divided the truth because we're trying to use either logic in the flesh, or some people in the spirit, you know, they want to take the knowledge from that, and they find, wow. And some people sometimes want to use that to their superiority, or they just want to think they're on a higher level. And then they get away from the flesh, and they only want to chase the revelation, and they forget about the physical components in it. And so people a lot of times are, and when you do this, you cause a division. And when you cause division, what happens? We'll just talk about the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that. And we know there's nothing wrong with talking about the blood, but why not talk about blood itself? Because all of a sudden what happens? Then here come a medical doctor, scientist, and they'll start talking about, oh, well, see, blood is this and this, and blood is made up of three different, three different components, or, for instance, how many cells the blood are. Blood is made up of three kinds of cells, red blood cells, white blood cells, and platelet. So we'll see that, and we'll just think, well, see, they'll take that science, the physical component, and they'll take that into their own. And when they'll take that, they'll forget that God actually had a spiritual meaning in that. Those things actually mean what God was actually doing. And so, therefore, science separate themselves from us, from the truth, and they're just looking at the physical truth of that. And then the spiritual truth, those stuff, the word of God, God is using both, but people, the church is not taking both. They're taking one side, or they're just separating, taking any way they want and breaking how they want, but they're not taking the true meanings on both sides. So what happens is that they end up, when you do this, you end up putting God into what I like to call, you put God into a prison. You put him into a prison, and that's why Jesus told his disciples, because they wanted to put God into a prison. They did the same thing. They were so obsessed with the temple, and Jesus said, hey, listen, don't get caught up in them temples. Because, see, when you get caught up in them temples, then what you do, you trap God in them temples. You start glorifying that church building. You start glorifying everything that goes on in that church building. And you forget that God is everything. That means when you come out the church, the wind that blows, that's God. You forget that the air you breathe is God. You forget everything that you do is God. You forget that no man can have anything. No man, good or evil, can have anything unless God has given unto him. Even the evil man that's, you say these people that's evil, rich man that's evil, that do evil things, even those guys couldn't get anything without God giving it to them. And the reason why, because even the devil, you notice the devil take God principles. He takes God principles and he gives them to those people to use so they can be successful, because no one can be successful without God. And that's one of the biggest things people don't understand. You know, it's one of the biggest things people don't understand. God told Joshua, he said, if you meditate on my word night and day, you meditate on my word night and day, my laws, my statutes, if you meditate on them night and day, then you will be successful. What people forget is that meditation means focus, okay? So when a person is deeply focused on something, notice all the components of the world that we use come from God. God even talks about in Job about goals. Job said, I have no goal, I can't carry on because I have no goal. When a person have no goal, they have no purpose, so they can't carry on. So even though Job knew that he can't go no further, because when life started to crash down on him, he had no will to go further. And when a person had no goal to go further, you know what Job said? Just leave me alone. Just let me live my little, you know, my the rest of my days. You see, and that's what we see a lot of people do when they don't have goals in their life. They're just living. You see, they're just living. Because they don't have certain goals in their life. And that's what we see in the church. We see a bunch of people who just go to work, come to church, and they have no spiritual goal. They have the goal that God wanted to give it unto them. They have no goal. So they're just living, you see, and they just come there, clap hand, go back. It's no goal. They have no purpose. And they think their purpose is just to come there once or twice a week, clap hands, sing song, to take off. And they have no goal. They're just living out their days. And when people do that, then they're just waiting for the end. You see, he's living out my days, and one day we'll go, we'll be in heaven, and we'll die. And that's the whole point. One of the biggest tricks of the enemy is they want you to believe. They want you to believe that you have to die to do anything. You see, you want to be healthy, you're going to have to die to be healthy. You want to be, you know, you want to see heaven, you want to live in this world where it's all peace and never this, you got to die for it. And see, they want you always to die, physically die. I'm talking about when a person's separating themselves from the world. I'm talking about, no, when they want you to be dead, buried in a graveyard, you know, going to the next world. And then that's what a lot of believers have did, because they have no goals. So they're just like Job was. They're just sitting around waiting to die, you see, and waiting to die and hoping that it's something better when they die. And that's not, and they, by doing this, they've been deceived, because they actually have a purpose. They have a purpose here. You see, they're just not on earth just to pass time. You actually have a purpose here. You see, but what people have done, like I said, when you put God in these boxes, when you start to break principles, it's like anything. When you break the law, see, the difference between God and man is that man have laws set up. There's people that can break the law as long as they don't get caught. So there's people that can run stop signs. Well, you know, they get away with it if no one catch them. There's people that can speed at times. They can get away with it because no one can catch them. People that shoplift, they can get away with it because no one caught them. Well, in God's system, it don't work that way. God's system, you always will get caught for doing something wrong, and you will always face the punishment for what you do. And that's why, for instance, when God have his own laws, they're all in effect. And he set this up in the first place. It's already set. People don't even know it's set. And what they did is they start making excuses for breaking the laws. That's like, for instance, a person say, man, don't be like that to people, because what goes around comes around. Well, people say, you know, people just say, well, this is what it is. What goes around comes around. Notice how people in the world that don't believe in God still saying this, because notice that they know this principle works and it happens. And it's something that happens. If you hear these people that's into this soulish meditation, they all say, oh, well, you know what? When you release bad karma, it comes back to you. They want to switch it around to calmer energy. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the science of it, because it's all God. So they can break it down to chi, energy. It's all the same. It's all by God. It's all designed still by God. It's all the same principle. What you sow is what you reap. This whole world, God created this on sowing and reaping. That don't mean you just sow money. It's about whatever you sow. That's why you got to be careful what you do and be careful what you say. That's why they say, if you notice that, they say life and death in the tongue, because you can speak life, you can sow life, which life means truth. You can sow truth or you can sow lies. But if you and it's what you want to do, and so you can sow life, or you can sow destruction. You see, so when they start talking about this light and darkness, you know, when the Bible goes to light and darkness, when you're looking at the light, represent the truth. Notice how God separates the light from the darkness. He separates the truth. See, he separates the truth from fiction. From lies. I'm sorry, the truth from lies. So now you're dealing with lies and truth. So God separate the two, because you're going to have to live that way. All God did was showing you example. People don't see God example, but then they don't see God example himself when he was doing this. They don't see that example. So what happens when Jesus come along, and God raising him up, what people don't pay attention to is Jesus seeing the examples. He seen the example of what God set in the beginning. God separated the light from the dark. Then the Holy Spirit, of course, taught Jesus this, because Jesus, people don't want to believe this, but Jesus had to learn like everyone else, because God had never created man. Man was not created in perfection like people think. See, people look at stuff like if God created, and that's what people say all the time, well, if this world was perfect, if God, it was a God, why the world don't be this perfect world, and why such and such? But then people create heaven to be that perfect world that they have. And the truth be told, heaven is a place of truth. That's why it's a place full of life and light. It's a place full of truth. And the truth don't always feel good to some individuals. It only feel good. It's only peaceable, and it's only these things to people who love the truth, who's willing to take the truth and take the impact and the pain of the truth. Because every truth is not good. Every truth don't feel good. What I mean, it's not good to you. So some things they're going to say people don't like, and there's going to be things that are going to cut you to your heart. It's going to be things that cut you to the heart that you even be like the Pharisees. You're going to want to pick up stones and stone down that truth, because I don't want to hear it. I don't want to believe it. I don't want to wake up out of that. You see? So when people think that when God created man, he did not just create man. Soon he created them, they was going to be perfect. That was not the whole thing. That's why God says create man in our likeness, according to our likeness. It's our image, according to our likeness. And notice that how man was supposed to learn. That's why I said Jesus built up in wisdom, knowledge, in wisdom and favor and stature. That means he had to build up. He had to learn. God, perfection do not come. And this is the problem people always have, and they get mad at me when I say certain statements about this. When a person say, oh, there's no one perfect but God, or there's no one perfect but Jesus. And they say these things. And they say, well, no one purpose but God, no one purpose, perfect but Jesus. No one perfect, and they say this. And Jesus told them, and he straight said this, he said, be like your Father in heaven, perfect. Well, why would Jesus tell you to be like God, perfect, if you couldn't be perfect? Because perfection comes from teaching. It comes from teaching. You notice that how God trying to teach, the Holy Spirit job, he tried to teach you. And if you learn from him, then you got not just teach, but it's teaching and putting into practice. So notice that if I teach a guy how to shoot a basketball, I can teach him by showing him and telling him this, but he's going to have to practice. He's going to have to put this inside himself. The more he practices, what happened? We said all the time, practice makes perfect. Exactly. But what believers have did is they've been trying to live this life of perfection without being taught what it really is. And so they're trying to walk in what they think is the best way to live this Christian so-called life, and then they're not really living in perfection. And then when they're messing up all over the place, because they're going to mess up because they're not following the rules correctly. Because the thing was that you were supposed to follow the Holy Spirit and fullness. That means you're supposed to submit yourself over to him and learn. And then and they're not completely doing that. And so by not doing that, you break in the rules. And when you break the rules, like I told you, you're going to get the outcome. You're going to get the outcome when you do this. So if you break the law, you're going to pay for it, because God already have judged everything. Everything that a man could possibly do, God already got a crime. The crime you can commit towards him when you break these natural laws, spiritual laws, they turn into natural laws. It don't make no difference. Whenever you break these things, you're going to get the punishment. That's why you get what you sow. It's already said. That's why Jesus said that Jesus was saying the fact about he don't have to judge, because why did he have to judge? God already judged. Yeah, God already judged. Why Jesus said the word that I spoken would judge them. What word have he spoken? He only spoke what the Father told him. It was already did. So therefore, I can't. That's why if I go and try to judge a person and say, hey, well, notice that I'm not creating no new judgment against this person. I'm not creating something that God didn't already do against this offender. So that means this guy is, for instance, we say this guy committed a murder. Say, for instance, this guy committed murder. Well, we got actual punishment for a guy that committed murder. So this guy committed murder, automatically you get the death sentence. Automatically. So this guy committed murder, we know he did. Guess what he's going to get? The death sentence. Now, notice that this, say for instance, this law has been going on a long time. I pop up years later, and now I'm a person that's in power, that's I'm the judge here. And that person commit that crime. Well, I can't really give him nothing different, because it's already documented. All I can say is, yeah, you committed murder, so you get death. So automatically, all I'm doing is just doing what's automatically there. It's already been judged. That's why, for instance, people are not going to hell because of what they've done. They're going to hell because they reject Jesus, because Jesus is a payment for their sins. You see, but what happens with people a lot of times, Jesus didn't die for that. Jesus died for much more. He just didn't die for that. That's just part of it. And so what a lot of people do is they just take the blood for that, and they say, well, hey, I'm forgiven, I'm going to heaven. And they forget the Bible. No. He brought you to being a new creature, a new man. Now it's time for you to operate and walk in the mission that God has for your life, and for you to help, for you to hook up with others that's just like you and go on the mission of what God has planned on this world domination. Well, dominating this earth. A lot of people have trouble with the word domination. I remember I was talking to people about a month ago about domination, and man, people don't like that word. What do you mean, domination? I'm like, well, what you think it is when God say to subdue and have dominion? If you have dominion over something, you ruling over something, then you're going to have to put it in subjection. Because if you got anything that you have, that's why I know everything God do fall in line is order. And I don't mean man-made order. I mean it's his order. You see, man have order too, that separate themselves from God. They have order too. That's why we have a justice system. But you notice that when you separate it from God, we got a corrupted justice system. And that's what's going to happen. It's going to happen because you taking lies and taking true, and you're trying to create a justice system instead of just taking straight light. And you know what? The thing with taking truth is that you got to stand for truth. You got to fight the truth, and you got to stand with the test of time. That means every generation is going to have to bear and fight and stand for to keep this truth in place. That's the same thing that all the prophets been doing and God been doing with everyone that he didn't use from all the prophets all the way down, even to Jesus, all the way down to Paul, all the way down to everybody else that he didn't use. Because they got to keep, the thing is, notice those people had to stand, they had to suffer, go to prison, but to keep the truth alive. That's what the truth is. When people want to keep true justice, you got to keep that punishment that you stand for that crime, you got to keep it. You can't let people come in eventually say, that's just so unhumane, and that's just so not this. And what happens? People start to say, yeah, and they get the weaker and weaker, and they start changing those laws in time. And then the generations get weaker. And then all of a sudden, when they do that, then what happens? More people start to attempt to do it. Then more people start to do more of it. And then all of a sudden, more people get more of it. Then you start throwing these fancy little people that come in large, they fancy words, and all of a sudden they're getting people off from doing this. And then more people take a chance in doing it. See, and then what happened? You got corruption come in. And that's a lot of time what happened to God. When he giving people the truth, it's the same thing. It's all truth. When he give people the truth, people are supposed to stand on the truth. But what happens a lot of times, people get intimidated. And what people forget is that the truth is God. And they don't mean just the truth, but we're looking at it in a religious way, just in a gospel preaching way, where you see most people trying to preach a sermon. No, God is everything. That means if a doctor say, hey, if you don't drink water, you're going to dehydrate. Well, that's God. That's God. See, that's God. Why? Because that's true. That is so true. If you don't drink water, you are going to eventually die and dehydrate. That's the truth. That's God. What happens when you don't follow that truth? You get destruction. What happens if you don't follow the truth of drinking that water? You're going to dehydrate, right? Well, that's God. That still is God. That's the truth. And see, this is why I'm saying the church have got so closed-minded, is that they don't understand that it's truth everywhere. That's why God says, seek me out. Seek me out. Seek out the truth. It's truth everywhere. And this is why believers have trouble with some things that goes on in the systems of the world, because the world then took those principles and those truths and they are using it. That's why people sit there and tell a person, what? Seek a goal. There are people in the world saying, seek a goal. That comes from God. But they then took it and they're using it. And they're using the same principle. Why? Because that principle is going to work. Seek your goal. Once you seek your goal, okay, what you got to do? Focus on that goal. Don't let nothing else take you from that goal. Same thing God is saying. Don't turn your heart from the truth. Don't turn your heart from my ways. Stay focused. Meditate night and day. Well, study the books night and day. Do what you got to do. Make sacrifices, just like God telling you to do. Make sacrifices. You see, you have to sacrifice certain things you do, certain things other people do you can't do. It's the same thing they telling them. You want to make it. Some people you can't hang around. You got to get away from this. You can't have certain people around you. They're going to want to lead you this way. Well, Paul said the same thing. Holy Spirit said the same thing through him, through the scriptures, is that, hey, you know, bad character corrupts, people corrupt good character. So notice God saying the same thing. They're just using the principles in the world. And we act like they're not doing this because the believers have been isolating themselves in the building. And then they don't see that this is the truth. Those people are using the principles and the truth of God. And that's why they're being successful. They're being successful because they're using it. You see, and that's what we got to get back to understanding that God is in all. And we can't just sit back and just put them in a building. And we can't think, and like I said, when you separate the light from the dark, you got to take all the truth of God. And that's why this is why the people work. Hey, listen, set a goal. Why? Because if you don't set a goal, you can't do nothing. You can't do nothing without a goal. And if you want to truly be successful, what do you do? You see, first of all, you got to have a vision. That's why people always say, I visualize myself. I dream this. I visualize this. Well, notice they have to have a vision first. Then that vision turned into a goal. So notice that they seen this. They knew this. Then it turned into a goal. It turned into a goal. But what happens a lot of times, why people can't achieve their goal? Because there's one important thing that they usually miss out on, and that's getting the wisdom. You see, that's why Solomon tells you, through all things get wisdom and understanding. Those are principles. What happens if I got a goal? Well, I need to understand the wisdom, and I need to get the counsel and the wisdom. Now, notice counseling someone counseling you. That's what the Holy Spirit for. Well, people do that in the world. You need to get counsel so you go to school so they can teach you more about what you're trying to do. Now, what happens once you get that? Then you can put that into effect. Now, after that happened, what are you going to go through now? Now you're going to go through what we would call endurance. Now you're going to go through, you're going to have to count the cost. You got to count the cost. Can I afford to make it through college? Can I afford to do this? Can I afford to do that? Jesus tell you the same thing. Jesus tell you the same thing. Who can build a house without first counting the cost? All these are principles that people are using in the world still, and it's all come from God. But see, like I say, people are not connecting these things, and they're looking at what they're doing, and they wonder why they're being successful in certain things they're doing, because these are principles of God. People are just taking them using the world. And they're taking them, using them in the world, and they thinking, you know, we don't need God. But that's not going to happen, because while eventually stuff start tearing them down, stuff start happening eventually to them, because they get out of, they get away from what their creator intended. But they are successful in what they're doing because they're doing it. And after they do this, what happened? They count the cost. What people do, how much is it going to cost me? Do I got what it takes? Do I do this? Do I do that? Then after that, what happens? Hard work. Once they understand, I got what it takes, I'm willing to put in the work. Now, you have to put hard work. Hard work is very important, but people just can't be hard workers. People just can't be hard workers. People, you know, like, for instance, Solomon tells people that hard workers are the ones that are going to gain wealth. It's not true. I'm going to tell you why. We see a lot of people that's hard workers that work hard and they barely making ends meet. We see a bunch of people work their self to death. We see a bunch of people hitting the Bible night and day, and they're not getting any of this at all. You know, it's a lot of stuff people do sometimes thinking, well, hard work is going to pay off. No, wisdom, you see, wisdom with hard work pays off way more than just hard work. See, I can work hard all day long, hard as I want. And another guy, I can say, man, he ain't working as hard as I am, but he got more than I got because he used wisdom. You see, he got the wisdom and the counsel, and he didn't got the understanding that, hey, you know what? I can put my talents into something that makes more money or into something that's more beneficial. I can elevate, and I'm going to do that. So when I'm putting in my hard work, it's going to be more successful, and I'm going to get more fruits going to bear for me. Other guy, he just thinking, I'm just hard working, and I'm going to get to the top. That's not going to work. And that's why a lot of times people like that just do that. It takes them so long. I've been working for 30 years and finally getting somewhere. That's why, because you didn't use no counsel, and you weren't willing to sacrifice and endure. You see, you just wanted to work and thought working hard was going to get it done. And that's not what it does. You need to get the wisdom and the counsel. And this is why it's people who succeed quicker. This is why it's people who actually are not just succeed quicker, but it's people who they make way more money and they work a lot lesser. Now, why? Then they put in the work before when they starting out to put in the work. They put in hard work somewhere, but they use the wisdom. And this is why they got a degree or got something else. And now they're making way more money than a person who's down there at the bottom working hard, getting nowhere. Because they working hard, but it was no wisdom. It's no wisdom that came in and said, hey, why am I just working hard? Why don't I put some wisdom with this and go to school or do something different to elevate? Well, see, that's the point. So just working hard with no wisdom is foolish, you see? And because even though they may get a house for 30-year mortgage, they may get a car, but they working hard and they're not getting anywhere like these people are. And then them people here, now they got people working way under them, and they're not working. They're working lesser hard, you see? And so, like I said, these are principles of God that they're people in the world is using that been passed down that they got from people that used to follow God or understood these things, and the generation just broke off, but they didn't kept the knowledge. So this is stuff that happens. And the reason why these things are happening, because the church is supposed to be the ones who supposed to keep these things in order. They was the ones supposed to be using these things, using the principles of God. They was supposed to be using it to the fullness of God, for God purposes as well. And I mean his purposes, and fully use them. And so therefore they will rule over the place because they will have all the knowledge, the wisdom, and everything else. And everything it'll all be judgment of God. Everything is judgment of God. That's the whole thing. That's why, you know, everything is judgment of God. That's why God judged me to go forth through all the earth. Because what is judgment? Judgment is wisdom. And what do you need wisdom for judging? It's like I judge should I go right or left today, you know. You know, if there's a traffic I'm coming up to, I say, I can go that way or that way. Notice I got to make a judgment call. Everything we do, should I eat this, should I eat that? Everything we do is judgment. And this is why those spirits want to attack our decisions, because our decisions are our judgment. This is why I try to tell people all the time. You cannot let these, when people not in the God, they don't see these things. They don't see the things like this. And even the people that's in the church, a lot of them don't see these things. So they make judgments on their own all the time, and they make what you call comfortable judgments. They make comfortable judgments. You see, they make comfortable judgments, things that are comfortable to them, instead of making the right judgment. And to make the right judgment, that means in righteousness, and they don't make they're not living in righteousness. Because that means that God will be making your decisions for you. That means that the principles of God you will follow, the statutes you will follow, and that will make your judgment. The Holy Spirit will show you more things. Hey, listen, it's best for you to take this route. It's best for you to eat this food. It's best for you not to be this way, because everything is not going to be comfortable for you. You know, you look at people that's overweight. People like in this country, in America, there's a lot of overweight people. Even myself, you know, working out, losing weight that I didn't gain, it's quick to get caught into fast food and eating out. It's so quick to do the easy thing. It's so quick to do the easy thing. That's delicious and it's quick. It's so easy for us to do the easy thing so fast, so quick. And because, wow, people get burned down with other things or are busy, and they're moving too much. And they're not asking themselves, what am I doing? And notice that how being busy and overwhelmed is taking away your judgment of what you're eating. You also being ruled by time. Time was a servant unto man. God put time here for man to know the times of season to show them the mathematics. He was trying to show them the mathematics of it, to show them there's a time for it. So he's showing them this. Okay, and this time you're going to plant, and this time is going to be this. He had to show them because his whole system is reaping and sowing. And it's the same thing. He was trying to show them these seasons. This is how this works, okay? What happened to man is that man, when they fail, they lose the whole truth, and they fall into this delusion of time. And then what happens when you do this? Then evil man, the devil, and his people that he used, they start to take advantage of people because they don't know the knowledge. So they start using time as a slave master. So they start putting you on time. Boy, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. You better be at work. Oh, you got to get the keys. Oh, and they start ruling you by time. And time is, and when you rule a person by time, these people are harsh slave masters. They're ruling you by time. And when by doing that, you don't pay attention to them, you're actually a slave. You're a slave. You're a slave to time. And they're using it so harshly on you. And what happened? You start eating slave food. So you don't even pay attention. You think, I ain't slave food. I went ate at Red Lobster, or I ate at this fancy restaurant. I ain't eating that slave food, or I'm eating that, whatever it is. But people don't get to understand that a lot of times they're eating slave foods because they find themselves, I'm eating at this fast food. I'm eating at this place. I'm eating at this place, this restaurant. I'm eating this here. And everybody don't make good judgment calls. So many people eating at this place, while eating this chicken, or eating this place, or eating this here, eating that there, and they're eating slave food because that food is killing them slowly. Slowly their cholesterol going up, slowly this is in the food, they don't know, slowly. You notice how they don't even care what they're eating. They're letting strangers that they don't know feeding their families. You know, one of the things I hear people say all the time, you know, your man say, you're supposed to protect your family. You got your family eat at McDonald's. You don't know what is at McDonald's. When we see all the stuff that they find out that goes on in that food, you don't even know what goes on there. And then some of you do know, and you don't care. You didn't let the enemy take your judgment. And then what happens? People have high cholesterol, people with high blood pressure from all the sodium, people eating in all this, or they eating in all that. They just taking in all kind of things that they shouldn't be eating. And they never even stop to think, this hurting me, because they don't think this way. All they thinking is that, hey, I'm getting it done quick, and my life is working out. Yes, I know I got a hectic life. It's hectic. I'm overwhelming. Well, it's never good to be overwhelmed, because that's the Amalekite spirit. We talked about this. The Amalekite spirit is the spirit of blindness. All he does, he goes around and try to make you blind, deaf, and dumb. And one of the things he loved to do, he liked to get you to be overwhelmed. He overwhelmed you, and he did the same thing to Moses. While Moses was wore down when he fought against the the Amalekites. He was overwhelmed. He couldn't even keep his hands up. He was overwhelmed by it. And that's what happens a lot of time with the people. They get overwhelmed. I'm over here trying to do this. I'm going to try to do that. And then what happens? When you do that, then you start blaming people. You start saying all kind of foolish stuff. They start saying all kind of foolish stuff. And you'll keep on saying crazy stuff and foolish stuff. Like, for instance, I'll give you an example, for instance. A person say, you know what, I'm doing everything in this household. You know, my wife ain't doing this. She ain't doing that. The kids ain't doing this. They ain't doing that. I got to do it all on my own. I'm doing everything. And then what happens to that person? That person will walk around with a chip on their shoulder. They got this hatred in them. They starting to get, every day they come home, it's the same. It start eating at them. And that caused people to have affairs, cause people to have divorces. That caused people to have drinking problems. See, there's a lot of stuff goes on. What these spirits are doing to people, you see, and people don't even see it because it becomes natural. It becomes something natural because so many people are doing it. And they will sit there and say, why is such a high divorce rate? Well, because you know why? It's a problem that's going on there. They're not following the principles of God. You see, they're not following the principles of God. They're trying to go into the world and do what you call marriage counseling that's not working and not being successful the way it needs to be. All that does is putting a Band-Aid. All you're doing is like a dog. Remember the dog licking Lazarus' sores? Notice that the dog represents the Philistine anyway. That's why David told the Philistine, you Philistine, you know, they was dogs. And you know, the Goliath even told David, he said, are you coming to me as a dog? Like I'm a dog? Yeah, because Philistines are dogs. And not just that, they're dogs. They know that even their name means wallowing, wallowers. And just like pigs wallow and dogs wallow, they're dogs. And so notice how those dogs licking on Lazarus' sores. Now, Lazarus was a man that was broke down by the world. He was in poverty. He was you know, just hurting and sickness. Well, we see this happen all the time with people because poverty is not about just money. Poverty means a person that it means non-existent or lack of. So this person may have lack of knowledge. This person may have lack of education. This person may have lack of self-discipline. You know, lack of a lot of things. It's like, for instance, some people that fear things because they have lack of courage. And so they walk around, they're always in fear and panic. And they have anxiety and stuff. And other people don't. Because why? Other people are not in poverty. There's some people that they're very brave. They'll jump out of planes. They'll do all kinds of things. They'll take chances because they're rich in courage. You see, so they're not in fear like other people are. And then you got the people who's poor in it. I would never do that. I couldn't do this. I couldn't take that chance. No, I can't make that gamble. Have my own business. That's a big gamble. What if I see they can't take chances? So they'll never get anywhere because if you don't take chances, then fear is gonna rule you. And if fear is gonna rule you, you're never gonna get anywhere. So we see people do these things. Like I said, all the time. We see people fall victim to these sort of things all the time. And so, get back to what I'm saying. This is why when we're talking about the Philistines' dogs, colleges and them come in, and they take advantage of certain watchers. And that's what they do. They study behavior. And they study behavior patterns. The problem is that they don't look at it as being spiritual, and another problem they don't look at it as being demonic. They don't look at it as being demonic. If one thing a Canaanite spirit does, we know what Canaanite spirit do. We've talked about it plenty of times here. One thing it love to do is love to take judgment. And see, a lot of times people look at it just in a homosexual situation where we've seen, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah. Yes, but let's look at we know what the physical meaning of what a homosexual is. We understand. A man with a man or a woman with a woman. Now, we understand that that's not fruitful. That's not good. That's not fruitful. But we don't look at the spiritual component and what that means. The spiritual components mean when a man get away from God, so you got man knowledge and you have God knowledge. But when you got man on man, so you got man making up his own knowledge, doing his own thing. When man start to follow after man than God, that's homosexuality because you're going to be unfruitful. You're going to be unfruitful. And this is why it's people that go to church and they still live in poverty. They go to church, but they're still in poverty because they still ain't taking the truth about what God said. They're still not setting goals. So, for instance, they go into church, they're in poverty, they're working poverty jobs, and they stand there. They stand in poverty neighborhoods. Why is that? Because they still haven't understand that in the world, even in the world, you have to set goals. And they're not trying to set goals and let God take them further. They're not using in the physical, they're just sitting around waiting to die, and they're willing to subject themselves to poverty till they die because they think that's what it is. No, that's not what it is. But see, they have lost sight in that. They took hope in what they think is at the church. So in the church, they say, I took hope in God. But then they won't let God take them from being poor all the way to the top. And that's one of the things I always said all the time about with the gospel is that a lot of times people was preaching the gospel, especially, you know, 1800s, 1900s, especially in these times, people will not tell everybody the truth about the gospel. And it's probably been this way, I'm sure. But I'm saying this is why people was not preaching the right things about the gospel in America, in this country. The reason why people did not want to preach the right things about the gospel is because they have different minorities that's in this country. When you have black people at that time that were slaves or they was second-class citizens, when you had other races that went superior than the people that ran the country, or you said the white race that ran the country, well, they're not going to tell them the thing. They're not going to let them have the education they had. They're not going to let them do certain things that they was doing. So they don't want them to come to that knowledge because nobody – See, the thing is, nobody wanted to preach that here's a God that exists, that he loves to take the poor, the most hated, the most poor, the people that's undesirable. He loved to take these people, and he'll take them and build them up, and they'll rule over you. And no one wanted to preach that. You can't preach that to slaves, because if the slaves know they got this God, they can't read, let alone. And if they find out they got a God that can take a person from being a slave, he loved this. Take a person like he did Joseph, made him a slave, and he can take him to ruling the whole place. See, you can't preach that God. So what we do is we change the gospel to preaching this God that suffers. And I don't mean suffer. See, you're going to have to suffer, but they made it a physical suffering. And what I mean is that they made it where they want, you're supposed to sit in poverty. You're supposed to not be able to afford. So they created this kind of gospel so they can keep people down, where people can never go anywhere. They create this kind of gospel to keep the women, even to keep the women oppressed, where they shouldn't be this and be that. Well, they did this. They create this gospel to keep that in that situation. And do a female supposed to be under a male? Of course so. But the female represents the soul. The female represents the soul. You see, that's the whole thing. Even a man have a soul. So therefore, he's a female. Notice that his soul coming under subjection under the spirit. So the soul is all female. You see, so people don't pay attention to those things. That's what the soul represents, the female. And so what they done, they just look at really the actual physical female, and they say, well, let's put her down, let's do this to her, and they got away from the way God wanted to handle things, and they start handling it on their own. And when they do this, because like I said, evil man, they start to do this, they try to rule over things. And then they end up creating this hatred towards male and female, which is intimacy, even more so. They create this, and all of a sudden, here we go. So now we got females, which they always wanted to rule over males, because the soul always wanted to rule over the spirit. The soul always wanted to do that. That's something that is going to happen. But we have these females who the males trying to oppress in wicked ways, not in the ways that God was saying, but in their own wicked ways. And then it create wormwood, it create this bitterness into women, where these men or this man did that, he did it, and it create this bitterness. And now we got wormwood everywhere, and every time the woman speaks, she's speaking wormwood, a lot of them. That's why a lot of them are agitated, a lot of them angry, a lot of them, because that's all bitterness and hatred. And we created, we pretty much like this vacuum, like we created this crap that just keep recycling itself. You know, and people just let it keep going on and keep going on and just recycling itself because they didn't got away from the things of God. So really, they're just people just destroying themselves. So like I said, even though they got some principal education where they may be successful, but these things are happening and destroying the people around them and their own self. It's because they're not taking the whole complete truth. So they're pretty much creating their own destruction. That's why I say eventually they'll come to the end. That's like, for instance, a guy may be successful thinking I'm putting wisdom with this and working hard, but yet he's doing a job or something he's doing that's corrupted. And when you're doing that, what happens? Well, we let stuff go in food. We shouldn't let this go in food, but we're letting it go in food because it makes me more money. So but the bottom line, he want to make more money. Now he want to make more money. That's what he want to do. Now notice that it's a consequence going to come from that. It's going to be a consequence going to come from that. Because he got away from what God said. He got into greed. And that's why God said, you shouldn't get caught into lust and greed. He get caught into greed, then what's going to happen? Well, now he's going to make decisions. And when you become greed, you pretty much a Gergesite. That's what the Gergesite demon's all about. He's all about greed. He's all about greed. That's why he's a pig. A pig is greedy. A pig can eat anything. And if you fall in a trap, eat you too. And so that's the thing. Greedy little pigs. And when a person gets caught in greed, that's when you start dealing with that Gergesite. You see, and what will happen? Then you'll start taking shortcuts. You'll fall away from what God was saying, then you take shortcuts. Like, for instance, the whole cure for AIDS and these things, if they don't already have them, they know they should have them, because the fact of the matter, the knowledge of God keeps going. It's eternal. So the knowledge is going to keep going. That means that's why scientists say, you know how scientists say stuff like this, oh, we got some information now. Like, we got this technology we tapped into, and we find out that we can go further and deeper. Well, that's how it is with the Word of God. It's with everything that's true. While we found this is true, we can really go into it. It's more to it. So notice that they're going deeper. Well, as long as they go deeper, it's going to find out it's more and more things. So once they find a cure for this, they're going to go deeper. They're going to find a cure for that. That's going to happen. You see, that's going to happen anyway. That's how God did things. That's what you call the apostle ability, the apostle anointing. Notice Paul did the same thing. Paul said, I went further than all the disciples. He went further. I went deeper. I did more. Exactly, because he was operating in that anointing. So it's the same thing. They're doing it. They just don't know what they're doing. They're just thinking that they're getting it because they don't know the truth about it all. Because the church is not taking advantage of this information and telling them or trying to get them to understand this. So they are not. So that's what happens. So they're not teaching these people this so these people can come to God and understand what truly is going on, what's happening. And they can come into God the way they're supposed to. Well, they're not doing this. They're letting the people stay separated from each other. They're letting them stay divided. So because divided, they'll fall. So the church is letting them stay divided. The church don't want no part of it. They're trying to just play in the building while these people are doing the same thing. And then we get away from who God is. God is everything, and we get away from that because we just put them in a building. So the people go deeper and deeper into this cure. Now, what happens when a person stops? When a person stops, it's consequences of stopping. You know, that's why I tell a person, you know, it said complacency, a fool, complacency will kill itself. So you notice that that's the principle of God. If you are complacent, it will call, after a while, you will start being destroyed for being complacent. Now, if God tell you, hey, stop right here for a little while, be patient, that's a difference. Okay, but if he don't tell you to stop and you start to be complacent on your own, you know what, I did enough, I went further enough, I think I did enough of this, then you know what happened to a complacent person? Then it started to be their destruction. They start going backwards. And that's why you can't afford to do that. So what happened? We want the cure to AIDS. Well, what happened if you stop? Then what's going to happen? Then the consequences of this. Now, more people catching it. More people catching AIDS. More things that cause people to catch AIDS is happening. More stuff is happening. Then it's going to keep on. What happened with cancer? Well, we could have went forward and really solved what, you know, solved cancer. But what happened? Well, greed got in. So you let the greed get in. It's more money for the chemo. It's more money for these other things. It's more. It's a big business with all the money we get in from all these charities, all the money going to us. It's a big business. So all of a sudden now you let greed take the choice of truth. And what, and notice that truth is righteous. So the righteous thing was to do is for us to all work and to us to keep working together, and we would have got rid of this. But what do we have to do? We had to stand for the truth. And the truth is that we were supposed to look out and love one another. But we did not do that. We started worrying about our own pockets, and we started making decisions to say, who cares about the next person? We're going to make the money. And when you did that, it's a consequence. And then all of a sudden, it's more people catching cancer, more of this happening, more of that happening. Well, that's going to happen. Because you're breaking the rules of God. You're breaking them. And people think that it's nothing happening. Oh, that's why so many people got more cancer now and catching it every day than they ever have. Because of greed and gluttony and because of the Gergesite. You see, when you start letting him take over, he start cutting corners. He'll start putting stuff in the food. He'll start stretching it out. He'll do whatever he can to make a buck. When you let him take over, this is what happens. And why? Because the churches are refusing to come out and take this knowledge and go somewhere with it and do something with it. They're refusing to do this. So therefore, this stuff is spread all over the place, even in them, all over the place, because they're not talking about it. And then when someone like me come along that God sent and you talk about it, then they get mad and the pastors get mad and they want to come against you because they want to keep living that same way. So they want to keep living in a little safe haven where they're getting all the praise and they're getting all the money from the congregation. They're getting all the praise. And they're not taking none of the suffering. They're taking a little persecution from people saying, you know, again, a little persecution they're getting here and there, like where people saying, hey, that pastor, he's fake. And they're used to that. They're fine with that. You know, they're fine with that. And you know what? Some of them, they'll take that as, that is my persecution. That ain't your persecution. Your persecution would be if you stood for the truth. And you start telling the people in your church the truth and watch them come against you because the fact of the matter, they don't want to be there, most of them, if you tell them the truth. And then you got to suffer with that, knowing that I know the truth when I'm telling the truth, but everybody don't want to hear it. You see, that's what you're going to have to go through that. Jesus had to go through all the time. Jesus had people follow him. He say he told them something in spirit, eat my flesh, drink my blood. All of them left. He had to take, well, you know what? I just lost like, you know, 60-some people. They just walked right off. You know, they just took off. You know, he had to deal with that and say, hey, well, that's what it is. You know, but I have to tell them the truth. Well, they don't want to do that. No, they don't want to do that. No. They just want to do persecution that you know what, somebody made it, hated against me or talked about me, said that my head was big or why I got a jet or you know, and they just hating on me because I got, you know, something. And they take that kind of persecution. And then that's another thing I want to talk about real quick before we end this. Hatred. See, hatred. You know, when we talk about hatred. See, hatred is something that's not preached like it should be preached. And by hatred not being preached the way it should be preached, it's the reason why it's all over the place. It's the reason why it's been all over the place, because it's not preached the way it should be preached. Because the problem is people don't understand the difference between the soul and the spirit. The way the soul do things and the way the spirit do things is two different ways of them seeing things eye to eye. This is why the soul is supposed to subject itself. People have been taught not to hate. That's what the church teach people. You're not supposed to hate anyone. That's not true. That's not true. You notice that God hate evil. He hate the wicked. God hate liars. God hates false witnesses. So notice God hates, so you're supposed to mimic what he does. Paul tell you, be imitators of God. Jesus say, do what the Father does. Notice you imitate him. Notice God hate the wicked. He hate people who do wickedness. He hate greed. He hate every form of kind of greed. Jesus told you, beware of every kind of form of gluttony and greed. They hate covetousness. Okay? They hate these things. So notice that they got hate for these things, and they got hate for people who consume these things. They're consumed by them, and they don't notice how they have hatred towards injustice. God do not like injustice. Anytime people injustice goes on, God hates it, because when injustice goes on, people will keep on doing it. And this happened a lot into the poor communities. Anytime you go to poor communities, they always have this. They got this code of honor that this is the reason why they stay poor communities, and they don't even see it. The number one things they do is they say, we do not tell on no one. We do not what they call snitch. We don't snitch, or we don't tell on nobody. Or we don't drop dime on nobody. Okay, this is their mentality. But let me show how foolish this is. Now, when you come into those poor neighborhoods, what's going to happen? Well, this man killed this man, but no one's going to say anything. What happens when that goes on? No one say nothing. Then some people, you know what we're going to do? People are going to kill more now. So more war is going to happen. More people are going to kill in them neighborhoods. More people are going to rob in them neighborhoods. Because why? No one's going to say anything. So when there's no consequence, when there's no justice, people are going to keep breaking the law. So also we say, why these crimes? Notice why you got this high crime era? Because there's nobody there telling anything. But when you go to the richer neighborhoods or the higher people that's middle class, much higher than those people, what happened? You go to their neighborhood, they'll call the cops real quick if they see something out of line. Where did this person come from? What is this? They'll call real quick, and then the cops will come real quick. They will call quicker. They will tell, hey, I seen a guy over here was doing this, and he did that, and I seen what he did. And so what people know, man, you cannot go mess around that neighborhood, because if you do any crime there, they're going to tell. They're going to say everything. Neighbors watch neighbors' houses. Notice this. They watch out for neighbor houses. They would notice by doing this, they're keeping crime out. That's why they don't have it, because they know that's stupid to not tell when you see something going on. They know it's stupid when some people are doing something not to say, hey, something's wrong with that. But the poor communities have embraced this foolishness, this Jebusite, I always call it, gospel, this street gospel, this stupid mentality that they have took in, and they say, we don't tell anybody. Well, if you don't tell that people are stealing cars, they're going to keep stealing cars. Crime is going to increase. If you don't do that, it's going to keep happening. It's just what's going to happen to a person. If you keep giving someone something, I'll just be honest about this. If we look at welfare and these things, there's nothing wrong with people giving out what you would call government assistance to help people that need help. There's nothing wrong with that. God tell you that this is a principle. You're supposed to help the poor. People who's poor that can't help themselves, you're supposed to help these people who's poor, even people that actually work hard but they just need some help right now because things happen. Well, you're supposed to help these individuals. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you create a system that's going to create complacency, you see, we just got this talking about how you can't be caught in complacency. When you create a system that create a complacency, when you got people coming from all of these countries, they're coming from these countries that's poor countries, and they come over here and they're getting government assistance, when people are already over here getting government assistance, when you start to set up a system that you want to keep, and let's be honest, let's look at this both ways, because we can't judge righteous unless we judge both people for being wrong. A lot of time what people do is they just take one part of this and they judge. And they don't judge in righteousness. Well, we'll see when people say, well, hey, you got these certain called races that's on welfare from this race to that race to this race. When you look at the statistic of really who all on this stuff, you have pretty much all races, a lot of percentages of races are on it. And a lot of times in this country, like I say, in this country, we are, you know, Caucasian-driven country, they are more on it than a lot of other people. We look at the percentages. But what happens to people that people got to judge this fairly. You can't just start going on breaking down divisions of races that's on this because they all are using it. The question is that why are you using this system as much as you're using this system? And the truth is that it works two ways. And this is the two ways that it works. If I can create what you call what they created before, the reservation. When they had a reservation back then, this was a way to keep the Indians away. It was to keep the Indians out of their societies. Now, how can we keep the Indians out of societies and take their land? Well, we come up with this ideal called reservation. All reservation was is welfare. That's all it was. It was welfare. And what it was the Indians would stay over here, and we would give you food even during the winter because the Indians had problems surviving in winters a lot of the times with the buffalo, with things not happening, this and that. So certain things in winter, sometimes they had trouble with these terrible winters would happen. Well, think about it. Well, I come to you and say, you don't have to worry about all that. We will to give you food in them times. We will give you clothes. We will help you out with all this during them times. So they make this deal. But the deal is you stay over here and we over here. Well, that's what welfare do. You stay over here and these neighborhoods do not come to ours. You stay here. And you'll stay over here. We'll give you such as this, and you got to make such amount of money. And if you make a penny over, if you try to increase yourself a little bit, we will take it. We will rip you from everything. So you stay over here. Don't come over there. And that's all welfare is. They didn't turn it into a reservation to keep people where they are. And people, you know what? People being the way they are, they're saying, oh, you know what, I can take that, and I can, you know what, and I can win, you know, I can get away, I can take that and live on that. And look a lot of places where they're living, a lot of things they're doing. And the reason why people are getting more madder nowadays is because somebody has started letting them get government assistance to live in great neighborhoods where they're not supposed to be. So now all of a sudden they're getting outside the reservation, and that's what's making more people mad. Like, hey, man, my neighborhood, how they get here? And that's why most people are mad. But the truth is people like this who's taking advantage of the system, they're being rewarded for failure. A girl 14, 15 getting pregnant and you giving her welfare, she should not be getting this. But since you will not, since you won't solve this problem of this problem where they need to be solved, you're rewarding them to say, okay, it's okay, you had two or three babies before you're 20. We give you more money every time you have one, but just stay over here. So she's getting rewarded for it. I remember growing up when a person had something like that happen, they was ashamed, shame, shame. See, people don't want to talk about that either. They don't want to talk about shame. You know, shame, shame, shame. Everybody want to act like you ain't supposed to be shamed. You're supposed to be shamed. You're supposed to be embarrassed. You did this. It's a shame on yourself, and you should hate yourself for what you did, and you should not want to do it anymore. But what happened? No, 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 no. The church want to say no shame. It's okay. God forgive you, now go on. No, she's supposed to confess and understand, and what true repentance means, she needs to understand what she did and understand what was at the root of what she did. Like, what caused this in the beginning? What brought this here? But what people do is they simplify things, and they'll say, well, it happens to everybody. She was just this and that, and it happens to other people. She just got caught up. They look at stuff simply because there's a quick excuse we can make because we all breaking that law. Is we were breaking that law too. So by us breaking that law too, we're going to say the same thing because we weren't dealing with it in righteousness. So we make an excuse like that, but she's getting rewarded for it. See, if she wouldn't get rewarded for it, then what she'll find out, oh my God, it is hell trying to raise this baby at 15 and trying to work and do this and I ain't got education. See, it'd be hell. So you know what? No one would want to do this. No man would want to have himself like that. I'm caught up with that woman. I had to quit this. See, no one, I had to quit doing this. I had to work so hard. I never got a chance to do. See, notice that hell would be so terrible, they wouldn't want to do it. But when you have no law, no justice, you let stuff run loose, that you start rewarding people for it, then they're going to keep doing it. So you got two systems. You got people who are going to take advantage of this system, and you got people who set the system for it because they have their own purpose and reasoning for it. So they have their own purpose to keep you. Let me look, as long as y'all over there, I ain't got to worry about you over here. and you won't have to worry about you trying to compete with us, okay? Because notice that that person will have more gold because that person's going to get tired of struggling with kids and not making enough money. So that person's going to start using their wisdom. They're going to start going into God, I need help. They're going to start getting that wisdom, and God's going to start telling them this, and they're going to start getting goals, and then God's going to open doors. And see, then all of a sudden they got to compete with those people who don't want them to compete with them, them Gergeshites. All of a sudden they up there with them, passing them, and they don't want that. So this is why that system is so popular, and that's why most people take to it. Because you know what happened when people that are hooked on that system? They don't have no goals. They have no goals in life. They just sitting around like Hivites. They sitting around with no goals. It's like, what's your goal is? They don't have no goals. They're just living. So they'll die that way. They'll just live their life, die off, or do whatever they do. And you have to worry about them to the next generation until somebody wake up. Well, and every now and then somebody look at them and say, I hate this. I hate the way they do stuff. I'm not going to be this way. And then they go and they be successful. Notice they go and be successful. Notice how they take that hatred. Now, notice that. It's people that take that hatred. And they take the hatred and be successful. We've seen so many people that use hatred and become successful. Most folks, like Solomon say, most people are successful because of their neighbors, because they're competing with their neighbors or their siblings. Now, look how these sort of things people take and they become successful. Just to be better than someone else. They become successful. You know, stuff like this is what I'm talking about, how people do things and how people don't. People sit there and they pour. They're broke, poor, terribly poor, and it's not because God wants them to be terribly poor, because they won't come to God and his wisdom and his knowledge. They won't follow his ways. And then there's people who are following principles like this, but they're not taking the rest of God. So when they do that, eventually corruption happens. You see, corruption is going to happen. That's like, for instance, when you see people that know so much knowledge in the flesh, when they know so much stuff about medical and science, one thing I've seen about it, it's an arrogance that takes over them. Because, see, it's an arrogance. And then they start talking about, I got this theory, this opinion, this theory, this opinion, this theory. And when they operate in this all the time, it becomes arrogance. And then they start competing with, I'm better than Einstein. I knew more. I don't want to figure out he was wrong about this. See, they become this arrogance. And when they become this arrogance, the arrogance consumes them. It consumes them because they see themselves as, They Amorites. I know everything. And they see themselves like this, and they will die and burn in hell with that mentality. That's why I tell people it's not good to get away from God. Yeah, if you cut a person's body open, yeah, this is in and there. That's true. That's the way God created the body. When you look at the DNA, all this stuff goes down to how God. We're gonna talk about all this stuff on these shows. I mean, the shows we got coming up, we're going to start talking about these things. We're going to talk about when they talk about volcanoes, earthquakes, everything going to God, and everything going to the Word of God, everything God used, everything God created for these purposes. But what happens is, like I said, they're not preaching these things. And when you don't preach these things, people start to forget that who God is. God is everything. They forget this thing. And like I said, hatred is something that people have been taught not to do. And the truth is, you're supposed to hate certain things, certain things you're supposed to hate. You're just what it is. And what happens to people is that, notice this much, you're supposed to judge everything. A wise man analyzes everything. That's what Solomon tells you, which the Holy Spirit say. Holy Spirit always have two or more witnesses. That's why Paul says the same thing. Paul said, a spirit man judges all things. So it's the same thing. The spirit man and the wise man, the same thing. It's what they call it then, or they call it in there, the spirit man. So he said he judges all things. So notice that Jesus said, if I judge, I won't judge alone. But if I did, he said he would be righteous. Why? Because God has told him what to judge, how to judge. So he's judging by the spirit of things, the spirit. Okay, the wisdom of God. He's judging by this. It's the same thing about hating. Hating is the same formula. God hates, so you're supposed to hate by the Spirit. You're supposed to hate what God hates. You see, you just can't go out and just be in a soul and hate everybody, because in that case, you'd be hating people for anything. You'll go out and say, I hate this man because he is color. No, that's not how God hate. That's not how God hate anything. He don't hate a man because he is his color. He don't hate a woman because she's a woman. Like, oh, she's a female, so he hate her. Hey, that's not how God do stuff. So you can't hate on your own, you know. You have to hate the way God hate. You see, and God hate liars. I mean, he hate lying all the time. He hate liars. So what happened? Every time you hear a lie, you should hate a lie. You should be disgusted by a lie. Every time you see somebody get away with a crime, when you see somebody, for instance, everybody talking about this riot was happening down in Baltimore. Well, notice the cops, they were doing this.